Skip the waiting room. TireRack.com now offers convenient mobile tire installation in select areas. Simply shop TireRack.com for your next set of tires, and at checkout, choose Tire Rack Mobile Tire Installation. An expertly trained technician will arrive with your tires and install them on site, at home, at the office, wherever you are. You'll spend less time waiting and more time doing the things you enjoy. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Chilling interviews coming from Washington today after a passenger jet and helicopter collided.
I'm just praying that somebody's pulling her out of the river right now as we speak. That's all I can pray for. I'm just praying to God.
When was the last time you spoke with her?
She texted me that they were landing in 20 minutes.
Can you show us a text message that you got from her?
Landing in 20 minutes. The rest of my text did not get delivered. That's when I realized something might be up.
Can you imagine for that man waiting on his family member to touch down at Reagan Washington National Airport today? Just an unthinkable tragedy of what has happened in Washington overnight. We've now heard that authorities there don't believe there's any survivors, and they've turned that rescue operation into a recovery operation. 27 bodies so far recovered from the plane and one from the helicopter. Mark Kerwin is with us on the line today from Washington DC, because Mark, you are trained in this type of recovery operation.
Yeah, how you there, Andrea? And first and foremost, thoughts and prayers out to the families of those who are involved in this tragedy. I worked for Metropolitan Police Department for 21 years, and 7 years of that I worked in Metropolitan Police Harbour Patrol. So we had roughly about 20 vessels and a 30-man unit who were basically all safety divers and were prepared to dive into the district's waters to search, rescue and recover people in situations like this.
So it's the very area, Mark, we're talking about. That's where you would have completed a lot of your training then?
Oh, every day. I mean, the Potomac River actually freezes over, and when it does, we take out saws and cut holes in it, and we are submerged into the water so that we can experience what it feels like if a situation like this occurs, that the temperatures we'd have to deal with, the lengths of time that we could withstand that temperature. And basically, a lot of people don't realise that, you know, the appearance of the Potomac River can be very deceptive. It's so deadly. The river looks calm on the surface, but invisible underwater currents and whirlpools move downward, and they can actually pull a person down to the bottom and trap them, 30 feet below the river surface. On one of the rescue, which turned out to be recovery missions I was on, we had someone who came off a barge in D.C. and 3 days later were found 18 miles away. That's how strong the currents are in the Potomac River. One of the other factors is it's called black water diving. So when we go in to try and locate someone, you can't see past your mask. It's completely black. It's a touch and feel situation.
And the condition of the river overnight, was it frozen over?
It wasn't completely frozen over, Andrea. It was there was ice floating on it. The water temperature was 1 degree Celsius. And just to give you an idea that if a body is exposed to that, you basically have about 15 to 30 minutes before you go into unconsciousness. So we would use several methods to try and find bodies. We'd use side scanner sonars, which would locate bodies underwater. Helicopters up above would use IR, which would be thermal imaging. But the issue is that when you're dealing with, you know, people who've passed away and are in frigid temperatures like that, the thermal imaging doesn't work because there's no heat coming from the body anymore. And at that stage, then, as you found out now, it's become a recovery mission, which means now things like cadaver dogs, etc., would be brought in. But just to give you an idea, ever since the plane crash in 1982 into the Potomac, which was the last plane crash into the Potomac, where 79 occupants died, five survivors. The Potomac was fairly frozen. It was on January, I believe, 13th. Ever since then, National Airport has makes a phone call daily to Metropolitan Police's Harbour Patrol. It's the safety line. We call it the red phone. It is actually a red phone.
Right.
And every day they will call us, and it's a direct line from the airport to Metropolitan Police's Harbour Patrol, which is tested every day. And at 8:48 last night, that would have been called, and our officers would have gone out and been dispatched and taken off both on land and in water, along with multiple agencies, the fire department and other agencies, to go to the scene. And the issue is, you know, you're dealing with darkness. The plane went down a half a mile from the runway. You know, so the plane is now, the fuselage is broken into three pieces. It's in about 3 to 7 feet of water. It's upside down. And as you've heard, there's 27 bodies recovered from the plane and one from the helicopter. The actual path in which the helicopters fly is extremely busy. It's a corridor where helicopters go from the different military bases. Right across from where the plane was hit is where Air Force HMX, which is the president's helicopter fleet, is kept. And they would go nonstop throughout the day back and forth to the White House. And in fact, I'll tell you, I own a restaurant and pub on the river in D.C., and we tell our patrons who sit on the patio that if you don't like the sound of helicopters, you won't enjoy it out here.
That's so that's how close, Mark, where this accident, where the tragedy happened last night, like, it is an eye shot of so many witnesses that would have watched this tragedy unfold.
It really is. I mean, you know, it's a very populated area. Reagan Airport, that runway in Reagan Airport, not that particular one where the crash was, where the plane was about to land, which was runway 33, but runway 1 in Reagan Airport is the busiest runway in the United States, over 800 flights a day. And everything about this was normal, Andrea. The helicopter on a training mission from Fort Belvoir in Virginia, which is just a few miles down the road, and the path it was on, the path the plane was on, the normal protocol is that helicopter pilots are the ones who are secondary in this situation. In other words, an aircraft like a plane will have primary rights. Mm-hmm. They'll be landing, and the helicopter pilots are informed by air traffic control to have a visual contact with the plane. They will give them the route it's on, and it's up to the helicopter pilot, once they get their coordinates from air traffic control, to avoid these planes.
Okay.
Obviously, this plane was coming in at 140 miles an hour. It was 300 feet up in the air. That's right on helicopter flight patterns for this area.
So there was nothing unusual, Mark, to your mind about the path as such?
There was nothing unusual. Absolutely not. And the thing about it is, you know, it's the most restricted airspace in the United States. You know, it's because of its proximity to the White House, to the Pentagon, to the U.S. Capitol. Everything is more or less on lockdown. This was a normal thing. Just something unfortunate happened. The only thing that I can see in the updates is there was a plane taken off from Reagan Airport the same time as the American Airlines plane was landing. And unless the helicopter pilot thought the plane that was taken off was the plane he was meant to be looking out for, and mistakenly made a turn in the wrong way, that's all I can say could possibly be. But okay, that's up to the...
I know, it's speculation. I understand. I understand. And I know that the whole efforts to find out what happened and how it happened will take place. Mark, I want you to stay with me because a couple of other voices I want to chat to as well. But before I go to them, like, I mean, what is the feeling like in Washington, D.C. today?
Oh, it's just, I mean, people are in complete shock. And, you know, it's absolutely horrible, because you have to realize this city triples in population during the day, with people who are coming into work here from Virginia and Maryland, crossing over the Potomac River, and just seeing it on lockdown, seeing the lights, seeing the news last night into this morning. Your heart would break and go out to the family and friends of those who perished in this horrible tragedy.
Stay with me, Mark, if you don't mind, for a few moments. I've Michael Cumann on the line. Michael is a former helicopter pilot and aviation expert. Michael, what will be happening now, both between, you know, from the helicopter, from the military aspect, and what will the airlines be doing?
Well, it's a very interesting process, and just listening to you. Same thing. You're in a situation at the moment where we're all in a heightened emotional state. As you can see, even the president of that country is speculating on the cause.
That's right.
And they will be doing the absolute opposite. And it seems very cold, but they are actually going to remove as much of the emotional process as possible. And they will be dealing with, first of all, securing evidence of cockpit voice recorders, air traffic control recordings. We live in a time, of course, where that information is now in the public domain instantly. In other words, people have been able to have that information up on YouTube already today, whereas historically that would have taken years before it would have been shared. So they are extracting evidence. And remember, when an accident happens, we as human beings, the first thing we look for and demand is certainty. And of course, in that particular case, that isn't available. There's no certainty in this process until we have all the facts.
So it's the process, you know, suppose two strands, Michael, of things. You've the recovery operation, as we just heard the fire chief talking about in the 1 o'clock news, and then the efforts to try and establish what and how things unfolded in the way they did yesterday evening. Will other flights continue to carry on today as normal?
Oh, yeah, they will, because the accident didn't occur at the airfield. In other words, the runway wasn't closed. It's very possible that they will open. Again, it's one of the busiest pieces of airspace in the world. And as already has been mentioned, it has also, for example, on the north side, it has the White House. On the right hand side, it has Davison Air Force Base. And then obviously it has another military airfield as well as the main airport. So it's extremely busy and people will be returning back to normal. And remember, too, you know, the pilots of other aircraft who were in the air at the time, they will all have been hugely affected by this process.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, their airlines will provide counselling to them. In fact, it's usually their union that does it. And, you know, a lot of people will, like anything else, if we witnessed an accident on a motorway, all the drivers on the road would be affected in exactly the same way. Well, you know, putting this in context, of course, this is the first major incident since 2009 of loss of life like this. And it's why you and I are talking today. It's a very, very rare event.
It is. I know. I suppose it's the numbers, isn't it? It's the mass, the loss of life and the numbers of people that have died in the tragedy that just makes the scale of it just absolutely unprecedented. Mark Tighe,
it does.
I just want to bring Mark Tighe in, Michael, for a moment. Captain Mark Tighe is with us. He's the president of the Irish Airline Pilots Association. Mark, it must be every pilot's worst nightmare to even, you know, to have witnessed something like this happen in the skies.
Good afternoon. Absolutely. Our thoughts are with the families and friends of the crew of both aircraft and passengers travelling. It's nothing other than a tragedy. But as has been said there, it's flying is so safe. That airspace is so busy, but it works. It's got regulation. It's got control. Something has happened. I don't think it helps us to speculate about it, notwithstanding that it's their people's natural instinct to want to speculate. Mm-hmm. The American National Transportation Safety Board, the NTSB, now will have already begun their investigation into it. They'll issue a preliminary report in 30 days and then continue their investigation. And then when an investigation is complete, they will more than likely have identified what caused this terrible tragedy. And they will come out with recommendations to make sure that this doesn't happen again.
I heard very early this morning, Mark, radio communications. I think it might have been between the air traffic control tower and the helicopter crew. Like, even at this very early stage, I couldn't believe it was already out and available for people to hear.
Yes, well, that's just the world we're living in today, isn't it? Everything is readily available online. Normally, as again was said, this kind of information wouldn't become known even in the first instance until the preliminary report. was issued, and maybe not even until the final report is issued. So this is just the world we live in today. But I would ask people just to be cognizant of the fact that that experts are investigating this, the NTSB or leaders in the world, and they will find out what happened, and they will make recommendations to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, by all accounts, though, it seems like the search and rescue effort kicked in very quickly in Washington, D.C. when it happened.
Well, yes, well, I mean, it's, you know, they're a very they've great resources, you know, great services, great rescue services, and it's readily available in the area of the accident. So, yeah, naturally enough, they'll be out very, very quickly.
Yeah. Mark, as somebody with experience, Mark Kerwin, of the area that we're talking about, it's probably no surprise to you then that, you know, even while to the likes of us that might not be familiar with the area, the operation has already shifted gear from search and recovery to recovery. But given the circumstances and the landscape you've described to us today, it's probably no surprise to you then.
No, it's not, Andrew. I mean, it's quite normal. Like I said, we had I know that people were the first responders were at the scene within 5 to 10 minutes of being notified by the airport authorities, and you know, that's the stress is time. You're on a countdown clock, basically, to try and see if you can rescue people out of the water due to the frigid temperatures and the currents. So it is, you know, obviously, you know, with experts out there, they will decide on when it becomes a recovery stage from a rescue stage. And, you know, there are the people who say there's the miracles that happen, and there might be the odd person who survived, but just going on the temperature and the currents and the conditions, it seems, you know, it's not likely anymore. So we have a mobile morgue set up in Washington, D.C. in Southwest, right by our police helicopter unit. And we have the medical examiner who is just receiving the bodies and identifying them and notifying those who their loved ones.
Mark, listen, I really appreciate you joining us today live from Washington, D.C. That is Mark Kerwin. Michael Cumman, who's a former helicopter pilot. Captain Mark Tighe, who's the president of the Irish Airline Pilots Association.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Skip the waiting room. TireRack.com now offers convenient mobile tire installation in select areas. Simply shop TireRack.com for your next set of tires, and at checkout, choose Tire Rack Mobile Tire Installation. An expertly trained technician will arrive with your tires and install them on site, at home, at the office, wherever you are. You'll spend less time waiting and more time doing the things you enjoy. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.